I mentioned a moment ago that neither coach had used their challenge.
Good evening, basketball fans. This is Miko here, and you're now listening to Coach's
Don't talk into the ears like that.
This is it right here.
So no D voice? I can't sue them into the show.
No one wants your voice in the ear like that.
J-A-D-A.
What's going on, basketball fans? This is your boy Mike, and we're now playing the Coach's Challenge with some of your favorite basketball topics. Mm-hmm. We're here with your favorite coaches, Lamont, Carl, and H, talking about all the latest basketball news. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm ready. Okay, so guys, welcome back. Coach's Challenge, episode 9.
We made it.
We made it.
Wow, nine of these joints.
Woo-woo. Yeah.
That's dope.
Awesome. Talking about the latest stuff that's going on today. We're going to be talking about the 10th year anniversary of the LeBron decision.
Ooh.
Talk about the bubble, some of the players that opted out, some of the players that tested positive for the COVID-19.
Coronavirus.
We're going to start it off with the thoughts. Oh, damn. Carl.
Let me get my mask.
I'm about to go to the bubble.
I heard the bubble got a PS5 in there.
It doesn't have a PS5. All right, stop telling these people this.
All right. Look, so what are your guys' thoughts on the players that opted out and the players that tested positive for COVID-19?
Wait, that's weren't the they, topic? Yo, weren't they just playoff teams? Like, it was like lottery team players.
Jokic tested positive. He's on a playoff team.
Yeah. He's projected to come back.
Dinwiddie. Told him to lose all that weight.
Dinwiddie, I know, what's his face? From the Nets. What's his name? I forgot his name. I know he opted out. Can't remember.
I'm sorry. I know this isn't on topic, but I just want to talk about this real quick since you mentioned the Nets. You know, like 2 days ago was the last day Darren Williams was getting back from the Nets. He was making they had to pay him $15K a day. Right. Like that's what ended up being.
Man, I need to get signed to a basketball.
Yo, Lamont.
Yeah. Basketball.
Lamont, since you brought that up, there's a baseball player named Bobby Bonilla
on the Mets.
That name sounds familiar.
Negotiated a contract where he gets paid $1 million every year on July 1st.
I did hear about this before.
Yeah, and it's gone for like, 20 years, 25 years. Years or some shit?
He still got another 30 years left.
So he gets $1 million every year for the next 30 years.
Yo,
and he's been getting it he hasn't played a baseball game since 1999.
Yo, that lawyer who helped set that up, like I'm taking care of his family.
I think what happened was instead of him getting paid then, like, you know, like in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Kind of like deferred his contract.
So if he signed for like $100 million, he negotiated $1 million for 100 years. Yeah, that's crazy, man.
That's like
every week.
Yo, word, and you don't need more than $1 million to really live good. Yo, every year. If you gross $1 million every year, you good. You great. Great.
Yeah, that was a smart decision. You know why? Because a lot of athletes, they really don't know how to manage their money.
Oh.
So, like, a lot of them, they end up spending it real quick, spending it on houses or making bad investments.
I think he's Dominican.
Situation, because he's not getting paid up front, he's still getting paid every single year. Like, he never has a chance of, really, like, finishing that money.
Yeah. I think he's Dominican. I'm not sure.
Uh-oh.
Wait, is that Mix?
Uh-oh, speaking about Dominican.
Challenger approaches.
Uh-oh, Mig.
Who's that Pokemon?
What the fuck, guys? When did we say that we're going to do a Coach podcast?
Bro, you didn't read the
in
chat?
In the chat?
I didn't hit the chat, man. I was fucking...
Yo, Migs,
bro, you got to stop trolling.
Migs, we stop trolling.
Yeah, we live, bro.
Yeah, we live, man.
Oh, really? Live.
Yo, yeah. I'm just letting you know now, Migs. They was trying to keep you out. They was trying to kick you out the podcast. Carl and Harris.
Migs, we live. So we talking about the baseball player.
Yeah, Mike got that Kevin Durant blood.
What you mean talking about what baseball player?
Bobby Bonilla, how he signed the contract, that contract to so that he could get $1 million, 1 point, whatever.
That's the funniest thing. That's the best thing to talk about when you're talking to any Met fan.
It's crazy.
Is that. But yeah. In reality, even though it sounds good on paper because it's guaranteed, 1.5 until 2035, in reality, if you really look at the financial standpoint, the other option he could have taken was to take the money. If he would have taken that money and put it in a regular CD account, the interest that would come from it would be actually more than what he's getting now. So, so that was really like the big issue. But at the end of the day, you figure if you take the time that it was that the contract went into play, there's a lot of variables. You don't know market and how the value is going to go in the future. So. But you do know you're going to make $1.5 million, until 2035. So
yo, but the Mets,
that's a safe bet to take, basically.
Yo, but the Mets, the baseball salary cap is different than basketball. So I don't think that affects the Mets, their cap space or anything like that. They just got to pay them.
Yeah, so they're not really suffering that.
Yeah, they're not really suffering like they would in basketball, like the Nets who just finished paying Deron Williams.
That's not true. That's not so true. That's not true. Because there's a thing called a luxury tax. There's no cap in baseball, but there is a luxury tax, and you can't go over it. So
when Bobby Bonilla's is Bobby Bonilla's contract is still on that, still accounted for.
I don't think so.
It won't account for it, but at the same time, it's still money that's being given out to a certain player that's not producing. That's just
wealthy owner, bro. They're billionaires. 1.9.
Actually, no. It's an owner that just went through, got ripped off in a Ponzi scheme. So according to Rich and Wealth, they're actually significantly poorer than what they originally thought themselves to be. So
I mean, they may be poorer than what they're supposed to be, but they're still rich enough for one. they're not hurting for one.
It's a good troll for the Met fans, Migs. Right? It's a good troll.
It's definitely a good troll for the Met fans. I totally agree.
I hear you. Yeah, I get you. Yeah. Hell yeah, B. Plus, they're not thinking about it. How I just broke it down. How me and Carl. Yeah, because it's not going against their salary cap or anything like that. It's not hindering them from making any kind of moves. But
even if it was, what's 1.9 million doing in terms of like
especially in baseball, 1.9 million is nothing in baseball.
See,
it's nothing when they're making $200 million contracts.
Yeah,
like nothing, like water, B. Like water.
Yo, let's talk about the bubble, Mike.
All right, so guys, so you know that half the Nets roster, I think it's like five players on the Nets, have tested positive, or four tested positive for COVID-19, and I believe one player opted out. What are your thoughts on the players opting out, and what are your thoughts on the players that are testing positive? Do you think that with that happening? And in the cases in Orlando with the coronavirus increasing, do you think that this bubble stands a chance? Do you think the season stands a chance to continue?
I personally think the season stands a chance because the NBA is going to do whatever possible to make it happen. Me personally, I think if I had the choice to go to the bubble and not go to the bubble, I wouldn't, because especially the increasing numbers in Orlando specifically. Like, I was a pusher for the bubble idea, but not in a place like Orlando, where you see like people aren't really following the rules and so many people are not contracting the disease. So it seems like a scary location to go to. But also in terms of like the other players who have actually contracted it, I think they have like about 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
I believe. But we know that players are
hopefully by the time July 30th comes up, they would have enough time to pass whatever clearance they need to pass, and wouldn't be passing on the disease to anyone in the bubble.
Yo, it was only 16 players out of 302 that came out positive, which is increasing though. Yeah, it kept increasing though, but still that was pretty good. And I heard that was they were going for that number, that percentage. I think it was like 5%. And they hit that mark at that time when they said 16. I don't know, it kept increasing or whatever. But I'm looking at the names. I'm looking at the names, and I'm hearing Malcolm Brogdon. I'm hearing Jabari Parker, Alex Len.
Yeah, a lot of the Nets players have it too, like Spencer.
Yeah. The good thing about this is that no superstar has gotten it yet, which is.
But the thing is, here's my question: do you think they would release it if a superstar actually got it?
I mean, why not? What's
bro? They want the NBA to come back.
Yeah, they need the money.
Okay, for politics purposes.
Hush, hush.
Yo, talking about that. Baseball. Baseball is not disclosing any player that has the coronavirus.
Yeah, that. See? That's
crazy, right?
NBA. If LeBron has it, they're not saying nothing. LeBron not saying nothing. Yeah, LeBron is making nothing. Somebody else take his test for him.
Yeah, word.
Look, listen. At the end of the day, after looking at the players that went down and everything, I got to say, for example, Brooklyn Nets. The fact that five have the coronavirus is irrelevant. They don't have Kyrie and they don't have Kevin Durant. So what are they going to really do? If teams like that really should just pack it on up and just move on out.
You don't think they can upset a team on the East? The Nets?
No. With Cavs of perspective. At the end of the day, To be honest, this is really a six team tournament to see who wins the championship. It's between the East. It's going to be Toronto. It's going to be Milwaukee, and it's going to be Philadelphia. And then over here in the West, it's going to be the Lakers, and it's going to be the
What about the Celtics and the Heat?
The Celtics.
The Celtics and the Heat.
I can see the Heat doing something. Celtics.
I repeat. It's only going to be three teams that's in the East. It's only going to be three teams in the East. There's only going to be three teams in the West.
I wouldn't count out the young guys, Migs. But I definitely would have the three that you listed above. But I wouldn't count out the young guys.
Coronavirus or not, they got to play seven games.
Yeah, exactly. No,
they're going to I don't see Philadelphia losing a seven game series. They're healthy right now. I don't see Toronto doing the same. It's going to really get the first round, as long as they avoid each other, it should all set up for the second round, and then that's when you're really going to see it. Who's going to get that lucky break with that team like Boston? And then who's going to have to play a big matchup,
You consider this, bro? Because, a lot of these teams have players who are not in shape because they haven't been playing basketball for a long time. They've lost their chemistry. Don't you think that youth right now gives you kind of an advantage? Because, young people maintain that stamina. It's a lot of things that they're not regressing on that a lot of the older players might suffer from.
It might, but... I don't think at this point you could tell what's going to affect them and what's not.
I'm going off of the opinion and of the fact that when it comes down to it, during this epidemic or as soon as it was finalized when the season was going to start, the championship teams have started getting into contending shape. That's what builds mentality. If you're gonna tell me that there's another player on the Laker team that has not been practicing, with LeBron James looming, I honestly tell you,
not
you're
Avery
wrong.
Bradley.
No, it,
I was just
it's
about to say
be,
that.
Avery Bradley. But you know what? It's probably because he got his decision. That's fine. I hope he enjoys the next team that he goes to play with. And all. But
practicing.
You're telling me that Milwaukee, Toronto, that they haven't practiced? No, I'm pretty sure that the teams that are were going to compete for the crown, they're ready and, you know, and wait.
Shout out to Jay Ara. He gonna be in the bubble, guys.
Yeah, look at that. They got J.R. Smith. Now, whether or not he's in shape or whether or not he's been practicing for the last 3 years, I mean, you know, we'll see.
Exactly. And he's 35 now.
And he's 35. But, you know, as long as he still has a shot.
I mean, he ain't going to play fucking 30 minutes. He's only going to play like 15.
Let's be honest. J.R. Smith is going to be open most of the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It's
really, and all he has to do is just nail it on those shots.
I don't see the defense being like, let's focus on JR right now.
The bad thing about it is that now they lost an experienced playmaker, because Bradley, even though he was known for his defense. He's known for his defense, but he's still a smart player who's been in the league for a while. Now they got to depend on Caruso. And of course, Rondo, which
Caruso,
Rondo,
the goat, look, all right.
Yeah, but he hasn't been battle tested. That's the problem.
Caruso is
so
goat.
Hold on. So wait a minute. I just want to make sure of this. So in the same sentence, this guy, put up A.B. Bradley like some sort of playmaking, you know, X factor.
No.
And denounce Caruso, who is the entertainment and you factor, and Rondo, who is the experience championship factor. Wow, that's really nice.
Well, there's a reason. There's a reason why Rondo. There's a reason why Rondo isn't a starter on the Lakers.
And the guy's only good for 8 to 10 minutes. That's it.
Exactly. So
he's more of a transition guy.
He's a different story in the playoffs. He's a playoff Rondo.
Players have an advantage because of that.
Who?
Rondo can't even play 8 minutes.
Players,
they only got 48. They'll work it out.
I think veterans always have an advantage in the playoffs.
Always.
I think this
over a younger.
Provided they have fresh legs, and everyone's gonna have fresh legs.
Yeah, it's a different circumstance. I think if it's a regular routine playoffs, like we're continuing, I think experience definitely.
You're right. Yeah.
I think right now, because of 4 months of no playing basketball. Yeah. You know, even if you're telling me, yeah, they're practicing and they're staying in shape, but, you know, then they weren't allowed to play against each other.
Carl, back then when they had the lockout, they didn't play for like a couple of months. And it's not like they came back and you saw the rookies outshine the vets. You know, the vets can still ball. I mean, the vets are 30 years old. They're still young guys. It's just that the younger guys are younger guys. Like, wow. 2021.
I mean,
speaking of that young guy section, you do know that there's a team called the Los Angeles Clippers. They have they don't have an aging roster. They have, you know, a very, very nice core four in there. And Leonard, George,
the Clippers?
Patrick Beverly. I put in
Kawhi Leonard, who needs load management. And then you also got PG, who needs to sit too. Like, I don't know.
They're not gonna, but that's the thing. That was in the past. There is no such thing as load management. He just had a 4 month load management.
Yeah,
it's literally what? It's only a couple of games, and then it's playoffs.
He probably gonna not play all 8 games.
I don't see him playing. I probably see him playing like maybe one and maybe one every 3-4 games, and that's it.
Yeah, I see him playing 4 games.
The playoff, it's over. It's a wrap. That's a different dimension.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, it's gonna be great. All the championship players have to do is just maintain the fact that, you know, the teams that you knew was gonna be there, they just gotta stay healthy, don't go outside, follow the directions that are given, and they're gonna get a chance to compete.
Do you guys think they're actually gonna have like the ability to follow these directions? Like, because Stephen A. Smith is saying, like, you know, any women. And then we having like some of the conversations on our fantasy chat,
bro. I know for a fact, Carl. That's a great question.
Yeah,
I know for a fact the Lakers are gonna stay together, and they are going to make sure that all the players are engaged. And for those that need things like that, because we all do, I understand.
Uh-huh.
But bro, the bigger goal. Is they gotta treat this like camp or some shit, you know? So
you don't think there's gonna be any Dennis Rodmans?
Of course, yeah. But it's up to the team captains, the leaders, to keep them engaged to keep them there. And if maybe they might work something out with a J.R. Smith. Maybe he got a chance to get off the Disney World thing and go to the liquor store across the street from.
Nah, they can't leave at all.
They can't even go to the liquor store across the street. Yeah,
somebody is sneaking out. I'm telling you.
Somebody, yeah, we got Dion Waiters too. Jesus.
Because one thing is getting the liquor delivered to you, but there's another thing going late night and buying the bottle. That's an experience on its own, and you can't take that away from JR, man.
You can't take the edibles away from Dion Waiters either.
Look, these
players, look, they're gonna have a bodega in the bubble.
On the Lakers.
It's four to eight weeks.
Bodega.
It's 4 to 8 weeks. We've been dealing in a situation where it's, you know, we gotta stay self-quarantine for two weeks if we, you know, have the sniffles. You know, if they want to win a championship, at least in this format, regardless of the fact, it's going to be, you know, it's true what Austin Rivers said. It is going to be a difficult championship to win. It just is. But that being said, it's still going to have an asterisk for good reason and for bad.
Yeah.
If you want to go for it, you're gonna have to make some sacrifices.
Yeah, it's gonna be. I understand.
The Disney World Resort is one of those sacrifices.
I understand.
Austin Rivers on? What team is Austin Rivers on?
The Clippers.
The Clippers. Austin Rivers on the Clippers? Austin Rivers not on the Clippers.
No, not no more. He's on the Rockets.
On the Rockets.
Yeah, I understand. It's a difficult championship for them to win. They don't got a center.
No. But I understand because
what are you talking about? They got Russell Westbrook.
I understand when he says. I understand this.
He averages.
This is,
you know, a lot of rebounds.
This is going to be a difficult championship because this is something that nobody has ever experienced. None of them have ever experienced this. So, you know, to get back, like Carl was saying, like I was telling Carl, we don't know what's going to happen because either the veterans are going to be comfortable or the young players or whatever. You don't know. This has never been done before. So, it's not like they're going to be traveling the same way or – they're not going to be traveling at all. They're not going to – you never know. Players might not – none of the players might be comfortable in that bubble, and that might affect the play, and that might –
unexpected. That's how I see it right now.
What?
Right now, say expect the unexpected. Like, you don't know.
Yeah. Expect the unexpected, man.
Yeah.
That shit is going to be crazy to see how players react to the bubble.
Imagine the Lakers lose to the Pelicans. That would be crazy.
Oh, my God. That would
I'm
be
blaming
amazing.
The fucking bubble. I'm blaming the bubble.
I did say that before that, you know, there are some dark horses out there, of course. But I'm trying, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, there's some teams. We knew that the Brooklyn Nets weren't going to go anywhere. You know, come on. That's all right. Let's hope that all the players that test positive just come.
What you mean? I know Knicks fans that are jumping to the Nets. I know Knicks fans that are jumping to the Nets.
Carl, is
that
true?
As well as they should, given what's been going on the last 30 years. You know, they should.
Damn, but, Carl, you jumping ship?
Still.
Nah. Carl, you jumping ship?
Flash 2. The Knicks in Brooklyn.
the Knicks are trained right away.
They got better players, but the same bad luck.
Stop it.
I'm telling you, man.
They just got Kyrie.
Kyrie's not even going to play one game in that contract.
Yo, that's crazy.
I'm sorry, but, okay, can we talk
that's
about this
crazy.
Real quick?
That's what it's going to look like.
I like Kyrie. Kyrie's a great player, but why do people always put so much on him when people are like, but they got Kyrie? Like, Kyrie was winning when it was just him as a star and he was on in the Cavs.
But he wasn't a championship winner. Until LeBron got there, and then
what did he do when he was on Boston Celtics?
Yo, thank you. I had that exact argument. Someone saying
Kyrie is a great player, but he is not
Kyrie's best point guard.
What did he do? He sat his first year, and the Celtics pushed the Cavs to 7 games. They were about to go to the finals.
Yes, they did better, and then he came back, and then they did worse.
The following year, they were what, sixth?
Kyrie
is a great player, but Kyrie is a weapon. Kyrie is a weapon that needs to be wielded by somebody else.
I agree.
He is a weapon. He is a weapon. He is a talent. He is one of the top, you know, you can make a case that he's one of the top 10 players in the NBA right now. That is staking.
Kyrie.
But at the same time, there are some players that cannot be the person to lead the team to winning a championship. And I'm sorry.
I agree with all of that.
I think honestly, if we're just talking about
he is at best a good skill wise, he's one of the top 10, but he is a number 2 on any championship team.
Exactly. Okay.
I wouldn't even say any number 2. I think on some teams he should be the number 3 possibly. Like if you could have
Carl trying to tell me that Kyrie was number 3 in Cleveland this whole time? I'm gonna have to go watch the tapes now. Oh my god, I love this.
He's definitely number 2 in Cleveland. You could have definitely put him 1B.
I'm going back to the tapes, bro.
It was 1A, 1B in Cleveland.
You got something there. Yeah, I think
you can't have Kyrie as the leader of your team.
Yo, listen, man, Kyrie is a 91 in 2K. When you get a 91, a player that's rated 91 in 2K, that's a team changer. That's why we mentioned Kyrie when he went to the Nets as a player that should turn that around. But like I said, I agree with Migs. I agree with Carl about how Kyrie and Lamont, how, you know, Kyrie is not a leader. He is a secondary player, a guy that needs to be led, you know, that needs to be stirred in the right direction because he's a weapon.
A pivotal two-piece.
But he's a 91, you know, and if he ever does figure out the mental side of, you know, how to be the leader of the team, it's over, man.
Age, I haven't played 2K in a long time, but I imagine the ratings are based on skills. Right. So like they have all these like categories of abilities of what a player should have, like dribbling ability, shooting ability, like, you know, like your ability against defense. And I think that's what that's the metrics behind his rating in 2K, but not necessarily his proficiency for leadership. I think that's a whole different.
You want me to get his leadership rating?
They got a rating for that.
They got an IQ. They got an IQ rating.
Yeah, IQ's not leadership. IQ,
I know NBA IQ's 2K had to change his uniform in the last 3 years. IQ's so,
your ability to see the score, to read the offense, to read the defense, to make good plays. That's what IQ is, but that's not really leadership. Like someone could have good IQ. Like you put them on the floor and they're very smart. They'll go into their positions, but that doesn't mean that they're the player that you want to lead your team.
I'm just saying his talent is enough to turn a basketball team around. And so far he hasn't done that.
There's been a lot of talented players who haven't won chips, who you know, haven't had, you know, great career.
So Carl, you're hinting that Kyrie is overrated.
No, I'm not saying he's overrated. I'm saying talent wise, he has it. Like I think in terms
I agree. But his talent,
he's the best finisher. You know, he's lethal on offense. So these skills, like, if you're talking about all the players in the NBA, he's number one in a lot of skill, right? So, but at the same time, like, I can't call him overrated in terms of his ability. No, but is he a leader? No, he's not a leader.
I'm taking Dame over Kyrie.
Yeah, I'm taking Dame as a leader. Yeah, because what Dame has had to do in the West, and
it depends. I'm taking Kyrie.
Kyrie hasn't done that as a number one, even though Kyrie has a chip.
I think with my first pick, though.
With LeBron, I think Dame would have probably had more chips than Kyrie.
I would draft Kyrie third round, so, you know, it makes a case for him to be two or maybe even a third option on the championship team. You know, Brooklyn Nets will probably be a good team next year. They could get, you know, another big defender, you know, coming off the bench. But
going after Bradley Beal. That's who they want. They want
to. For now,
yo. But I heard they can't. I heard they can't sign Bradley Beal next season.
Why not?
Something. I heard like it's like impossible.
He might unless sit out too.
It's up to Bradley Beal. Like it's up to Bradley Beal. If he really wants to go to the Lakers, he'll go. I forgot what it was.
Lakers. I'm talking about the Nets.
I kissed Bradley Beal goodbye a long time ago. From when I heard about that. So I'll try to get it and post it on the chat. I'll try to get it and post it on the chat. for us to read or whatever.
So let me ask you this. So why is everybody right now surprised that LeBron James was close to picking the Knicks the summer of 2010? That's been known. That was been known.
Yeah, word, man. Miggs, you know what? You know what I think the shocker was? The shocker was that it came out from reports. I don't know if this is true or false, that the Knicks fucked it up. I don't think we heard that back then. We heard that.
Who's actually shocked about that?
That's true.
We heard that before.
That's true. Nobody ever knew what happened, but it was reported that he was not granted. Actually, it kind of is. It's not. They did mention it. They just didn't make a big thing of it then. They kept it as that, sources say that, LeBron James has not gone back for a second interview. I do recall that. But I remember, very clearly reading, because it's funny that Bill Simmons was the one that mentioned it on his podcast. He actually was the one that wrote the article back in 2010 in that summer when what ended up happening is that the three best options for LeBron, which was the New York, Chicago, and then Cleveland. New York being the fact that was known as the Godfather one, the best deal, because you're coming to New York with the market that New York City has, and the history and the fact that you won a championship in New York, that pretty much already throws you up there at a GOAT status. Chicago was the better deal for the reason that at that time the team that had been assembled.
Nobody wanted to hit Chicago though. Nobody wanted to go to Chicago. Everybody wanted to avoid Chicago.
The Chicago Bulls were the interested in the East.
Yeah, he was interested.
The Chicago Bulls are the number one team in the East. They had the best design, the coaching. And the players, the rope, the precise pieces. All they needed was a LeBron James, or actually, really, all the Chicago Bulls needed at that time in the Derrick Rose era was just
another. What happened?
That's a playmaker.
What happened to Chicago? Why didn't they let LeBron?
Well, I mean, according
because to that, because of honestly, you want to know the two reasons. Number one, They shouldn't have pushed a 21-year-old kid to try to promote and bring a guy up, and they shouldn't have sent a guy who really wasn't liking LeBron James as on a competitive level, kind of hated him, to try to sell him. What they should have done is just presented the fact that listen, this gives you the best option to win. They even had media just bring it in does LeBron even have the guts to get into the shoes of Michael Jordan? I'm serious. I know that the Knicks had a horrible marketing system, but at the same time, I think the Chicago Bulls just had no system. But they were close. They were close because somebody at least put it in his ear and told him, hey, listen, they have the pieces that you really can take.
I heard back in the day.
Kudos to Pat Riley. He also could have gone back to Cleveland. He could have gone back to Cleveland, stuck at home, tried to win a championship for his hometown. He would have been fine with it. Pat Riley, he made some moves. I mean, how could you deny a fact to play in Miami with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh? That makes you a power three with a team that has good defense all around it, behind it, and with a management head by Pat Riley. You really cannot say no to that.
Yo, let's go back to the Knicks. I don't believe the Knicks were ever LeBron's first choice or first decision. I think a lot of times, players like to attach their names to the Knicks, because once you attach your name to the Knicks, then I think it brings your price up, because everybody knows.
That is true.
However, that is a 1990s truth.
No, it's still true.
It's true.
That's also true.
Nobody wants to associate themselves with the Knicks.
That's also true.
Only Knicks fans think that name holds weight. Nobody wants to be associated with the Knicks.
I'm not saying
people want to be associated with New York. Maybe. And there's a market with that.
Every single year, we have papers, we have, TV broadcasting. Every single year, there is a free agent that's attached to the Knicks or a rookie that's attached to the Knicks. That's every single year. So one thing I believe that happens is that it does increase your value because everyone knows around the NBA that the Knicks are desperate enough that they're going to try to pay these players no matter what they have to pay them. They're going to give whatever bad contract. And I think players go into other organizations and be like, look, you know what? The Knicks want me.
Yeah.
The Knicks are going to pay me this much.
Leverage.
There's a difference between then and now. At that point in time, the Knicks actually had the cap space. Yeah, but the Knicks had the cap space that year to get LeBron.
Carl is saying,
he got the cap space Carl to put saying, two people.
Carl is saying with the contracts, Migs, you think he's talking about associating themselves with their reputation?
I'm talking about the branding. I was asked whether or not LeBron James was legit when he said that. I'm telling you the reasons. I'm going to tell you the reasons why. Number one, H, and you could agree on me on this. LeBron James is a businessman. LeBron James is a brand. Yeah. And he's a very thoughtful person to get the brand. There's nobody else in the United States of America that's going to market your brand better than from New York City. There just isn't. And that's one of the reasons why he was going to come over here. Number one, you got a team in New York that has the cap space to sign not one but two max player contracts. At that year, at that moment. Number two, you have a team that not only could they do that, but they also have a legitimate supporting cast. They had a young, legitimate supporting cast at that time. And then you got number three.
The Bulls?
Yeah, they had Dano. They had the team that they gutted to get Melo.
Oh, the Gallinari, the Felton.
Yeah, they actually had the team still ready. Amari Stoudemire.
Now they didn't have Amari at the time yet.
Yeah, they did. They had Amari. They have Amari. They got Amari after that because Amari was the only guy that said, you know what, I'll go ahead and take your cap money. I'll take your cap money at that time. Shout out to Amari Stoudemire.
He did his thing, though, that season, though.
Yeah.
For the Knicks.
He did good, but you guys overpaid for him. And, the Knicks overpaid for him. And then the Knicks kind of gutted the team to get Melo when he was only, going to be a free agent a couple of months away. But back to LeBron James, the pieces were there. The fact that winning a championship with New York is pretty much better than winning a championship with any other NBA franchise at this moment. The New York Knicks, despite how bad they've been the last 30 years, they still are number one on Forbes' highest NBA worth team. So you win a championship in New York, you're pretty much, I'm guaranteeing, like, regardless, number that be or whatever like that, you're guaranteeing you're forced to put him in the GOAT table automatically off of them. But again, he put his talents, at the end of the day, he could have gone with that one, or he could have gone with Chicago. Personally, I thought he was going to go with either New York or Cleveland. And then Miami just came in with the left field best deal available. They stole it. They stole LeBron James.
I think that was the left field best example because you know what? Like these players, LeBron, Wade, and Chris Bosh, I think they were signed to the same management team at that time, right?
They never was, Carl.
Okay. All right. So I think I read something to that extent. But the point that I'm trying to get to is that they made sure that their contracts ended at the same year so that they became
Melo
jumped in. I think Melo
did sign in. Yes, Melo jumped. He did Melo fucking kicked it in. That's why he stayed in Denver for another reason.
Melo ruined it because he cared about the
lockout.
Yeah, and they were going to do something different with the CBA. And so he went to lock in the money before they could have possibly reduced the amount of money.
Yeah, Melo was trying to make his money.
I think it's safe to say that this was before he met Lala. If he was with Lala, Lala wouldn't allow that type of move. She would have thought, moves
ahead. I don't know. Lala got killed in power, boy.
He needed to get killed.
Lala got killed in power. She ain't that smart.
Real quick, fellas, I just want to get your thoughts.
Let me know.
You're going to blow the whistle on, or you're going to pass on this recent news? So Hassan Whiteside is expected to come off the bench. What are your quick takes on that?
Come off the bench where?
Portland?
Yeah, Yusuf Nurkic is coming back. He's gonna be on.
This is news. Why?
How is that? Your thoughts? Real quick. This is real quick.
Whiteside should.
Wait.
Whiteside is in no position to be securing a starter spot, bro. Well,
Whiteside had a great season this year, but at the end of the day, you got to go with Nurkić. Look, they were better. They're a better team when they have Nurkić on the floor. That being said, this year to 2020, Whiteside coming off the bench, that's a pretty impressive six man. That's the best way to go about doing it. Hold on.
Who's there 4 and 5? So like they can't play together?
Oh, so I think because I know Trevor Ariza is not coming back. So is he gonna be either Melo or I forget this kid's name.
Wait, so Melo's not the three?
Melo plays the two. I'm trying to think of the starting lineup right now. For the team.
It's CJ, it's Dame, it's Nurkić, apparently.
Yeah, Nurkić is playing the five. Nurkić is on the
five. Isn't it Bazemore or Hood?
I believe it's Rodney Hood.
Rodney Hood is hurt.
And Melo.
Yeah, they could put Melo at the three. They could put Nurkić at the four and White.
Well, actually, now they're gonna have to.
Wouldn't it be better to have Melo at the four right now?
Yeah, Melo's gonna come off the. Melo's gonna play the four.
That's true. Yeah,
Melo's not fast enough to do the three.
I forgot his name.
It's gonna end up being Rodney Hood.
Rodney Hood is hurt. Small forward. Rodney Hood is hurt.
And Trevor Reese is not coming back.
Yeah, it's a kid off the bench. I forget his name. That's gonna be filling that slot.
I guess they're probably gonna get what? They're gonna bring up Nassir Little.
Maybe that Jalen Adams kid that they signed from the G League.
Anthony Simmons or Gary Payton II.
Yeah, maybe one of those. All right. So real quick, off of that, Bradley Beal being indecisive about whether he wants to join Orlando. What are your thoughts on that?
Bradley Beal. Yeah. From the Wizards?
From the Wizards.
Look, if I'm Bradley Beal, I would do this. This is the best thing that Bradley Beal could do for him. You gotta look at him. Bradley Beal? He has to look at himself like a running back in the NBA.
Wizards not even in the playoffs.
You have a lot of mileage. Look, you've got a lot of minutes added on. You know, we know that you're a scorer. We also know that you can't carry that team for shit. Give up.
The team is
take off the summer, really keep training, get ready for the next season.
Yeah.
I'm
not blaming Bill
for your body.
So let me ask you about Victor Oladipo. Victor Oladipo is 100% as far as health, and he's unsure about when coming back to resume the season. What are your thoughts on that for the Pacers?
I think he should come.
Another irrelevant team in the East. I'm telling you guys,
they got a good squad. Listen, I think they still need it.
Yeah, these teams are great. I'll tell you what. Honestly, this would be a different topic if the tournament, if the playoffs this year was a one game tournament. Then we could bring in all the Indiana Pacers, and the Brooklyn Nets, and everybody else, and the Washington Wizards, and everybody else that's coming in from the East. There's only three teams in the East. I will repeat that again. It is Toronto, Milwaukee,
and it
is Philadelphia 76ers.
Pacers out of here, man. Who cares, man? Victor Oladipo, whether he plays or not.
You guys don't care if Jonathan Isaac or Farik Aminu come back for the Magic.
What the? Who are these guys?
So disrespectful.
Stay home.
They will be a good team, and they will have the home field advantage. And there you go.
They're gonna come to the bubble just to play. Just to play PS5.
They don't have the PS5.
They need to look at the bubble, but don't come in.
They're not getting the COVID rings.
Your last thoughts about John Wall's a rep from John Wall's camp stating that he lost his games because what's so funny?
Wait, what did
you No, because every time you hear John Wall, I just have to laugh. Not only that, but I will say this because John Wall, I could laugh for a lot of reasons because of that. But I really laugh at the fact that, damn, he lucked out. He got so lucky when he got his free agent. Whoever put that deal in place for him,
to play basketball, man. He doesn't care about the money. He wants to play basketball.
It said John Wall will not join.
You know how much he's getting each year?
It's easy to say that when you already got the money.
John Wall earned that. He was like
really No, he definitely earned. Like, I'm not saying like his contract wasn't bad at the time. It just ended up being bad because after he got the contract, he had the Derrick Rose syndrome.
Yeah, multiple injuries. Back to back. Yeah, this guy was averaging like 20 and 10.
No, yeah, because when he got it, he actually improved, because John Wall's always just been more athletic than most of the people on the court. But he actually made his jumper somewhat usable, and he was being a little bit better with his teammates.
I think the NBA is moving on.
170.
John Wall. He don't got a step back.
4 years. He don't got a step back. He don't got a step back. He haven't played a game since.
He don't got a step back. I'm sorry. If you don't got a step back, the NBA goes past you, unless you're Zion, who's trying to change the game right now.
You know what's the sad part about John Wall is that the guy's actually good. Like, he actually was good. He's good.
If this was five years ago.
He can't shoot.
You know? Yeah, you don't got a step back. Huh?
Yeah, you're right.
I was going to tease the topic of the LeBron legacy, that it's being at the 10-year anniversary, but knowing you guys, it's going to end up being a whole other podcast in itself. I want to ask you guys very briefly, your thoughts on it being the 10-year anniversary of LeBron's decision and your viewpoint from this, your viewpoint from now, as far as his legacy. What are your thoughts?
I don't give a damn, because it has nothing to do with the 70s.
Lamont said his piece. Carl?
I didn't have to look at an hour and a half of, you know, him thank making you, up this decision. I think it was an easy decision. We could have found out about it the next day.
I just caught that.
Sorry. I just jumped in. I figured.
Go ahead.
Yeah, good too.
That's it. That's all I had to say about that.
I was interrupting you.
Oh, no, I just said that I didn't, you know, I or nobody else in the nation needed to wait an hour and a half for him to decide on the best deal. He could have just sent that over, you know, by text, and we just get it on our iPods and iPhone.
Are you crazy? Are you crazy?
Here we go.
No other player could get away with this aside from LeBron James. He had to. Everybody wanted to know where he was going to go. Everybody wanted him. Everybody couldn't have him. He was gonna make some people upset, and he—that's exactly what he did. It didn't go well, the decision, but he had to do it because he never got a chance to experience his to make a decision. He was drafted.
What you mean that there wasn't a bigger decision
like
in his life?
The decision at that time.
High school to the NBA.
He didn't get to decide that. That was decided for him. He couldn't go to college. LeBron couldn't go to college, bro.
It
made no sense.
What are you talking about?
He couldn't go to college, bro. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Forget about it. You don't go to college after that.
Felipe Lopez was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Bro, he couldn't go to college. He was going to make too much money in the NBA. The NBA contract is more than what college players make. Come on, man. And it's about the money.
What are you talking about? He just signed a $90 million deal with Nike. What does he care about the hundred thousands that he was going to get of an NBA contract? It's not even about
what you're talking about.
No, but Mix, if he went to college, he couldn't. If he went to college, he couldn't accept the Nike deal.
I know that, but what I'm trying to say is
that's why he didn't. That's another reason why he didn't go. I wouldn't go. If someone gave me $90 million, I'm not going to college.
LeBron couldn't go to college.
That decision is a bigger decision than
that wasn't even
going over to see whose team is going to pick that year. That's pure bullshit, man.
Mix, that wasn't a choice. That wasn't a choice or a decision.
There was no need to do the thing. He even said it right now, saying that, I shouldn't have done it that way.
Anyway, the 10-year anniversary of the decision at that 10
years, huh? How many championships?
At that time, that was dope. At that time, for me, I remember anticipating it and as
wait. So hold on for a second. Wait a minute. So you're telling me that this big decision that's we're celebrating the 10 year anniversary of only came in with what, three championships? Three for ten?
Nah, really? Two. The decision only brought two.
Yo, briefly.
Let's get that
briefly.
Correct. Huh?
Briefly.
Two championships out
briefly.
Of ten.
Briefly. Briefly.
That's the goal. That's the goal.
Briefly.
NBA.
Yo, briefly. Mike, briefly, I would like to say that that the decision. I remember anticipating it. I remember being excited about it. I remember not knowing, as a LeBron fan, not knowing where he was going. And I was
burning jerseys.
Yo, and I was ready. I was already thinking, damn, he's already leaving the Jordan. Is he really going to leave the Jordan blueprint? Is he not going to stay on one team? Damn, Cleveland this. You know, damn, they drafted him. He's from Cleveland. It's the perfect love story, blah, blah, blah. And then he actually went to the Heat with two other stars, you know, one being a superstar and Dwayne Wade. And that was a big shocker. I remember thinking for a second, damn, LeBron messed up, man. But then 3 seconds later, I said, nah, LeBron's going to be fine. LeBron is too nice to not be the leader of that team, because even though basketball is a team game, LeBron's trying to be the GOAT. So you have to lead. You can't be led. I'm sorry. That's just part of the deal. So, you know, the decision, the whole – even though he was nervous, I didn't like the whole telecast. Like, the whole – he was mad nervous. I didn't like that shirt that he was wearing.
Were we not talking about the whole fact of the fact of whether or not that was good or bad? And this guy goes over and says, nah, it was important. And now he said that you didn't like the whole – the way it was –
I didn't like the telecast. I didn't like the way he – the way he said it, because he was nervous. You could tell he was nervous. You could tell he was unsure. And I'm getting this from Shannon Sharp Undisputed,
but,
where he said, you know, LeBron is always ready for the question. Like, he's always on top of it, and he's always cool, calm, and collective when answering these questions. That was one of the, like, the first time that you saw LeBron kind of like nervous, like you don't know, like it's kind of like a player that was decided.
I only doubt that because there were already reports, it's been confirmed that he let every other contending team know that he wasn't picking them. So
yeah, but that was like minutes before his decision. Not
like
days.
10 minutes. I think it was like 10,
yeah, like
15,
10 minutes, all right, so that's like still
five, you know, something.
I think
around
you guys are arguing
five,
two different things. Like, Miggs is talking about the whole media side of it, the whole presentation that he...
The special.
Yeah, not the fact that he chose to go to a different team.
Yeah. He did a smart move at the end of the day.
Look, even though it's LeBron James, it's the same...
An hour and a half special of it, that's all.
It's the same decision every rookie in his position has to make. It's a big decision, but it's not.
Yeah, but LeBron never had to make a decision like that.
And neither did any of those players. They might have chosen the college that they go. But most of them don't. They just pick whatever has the best deal that's given to them, or the only deal that's given to them that has the best exposure. And then they don't have a choice where they get drafted to. That's how your whole rookie contract goes.
It's more special seeing
a kid come out from high school straight into the league. You know, I think, you know, who was it, the last one that actually technically did it? It wasn't LeBron. Who was it? Who was that came after that went straight into from high school into the league?
Kevin Garnett, Kobe, T-Mac.
Yeah, so those were really like the last few.
Kevin Garnett, Tyson Chandler.
Tyson Chandler, Eddie Curry.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when you think of that, that's a bigger milestone.
I remember Big Perk in high school. Like, he was a beast.
You know what I mean? That's what's more special. But he was just doing the same thing that all players at his age that's trying to win a championship do. Pick the team that they're going to try to win a championship with.
The face of a franchise, you don't do that. You don't leave the franchise. You feel me? To go to another franchise and to join other superstars, but you don't televise it.
To go to another franchise, because he could have gone to New York and he would have been hailed a hero if he would have gone to New York.
Yeah, because of the Knicks fans.
So if LeBron
would have gone to New York, when it came to New York, with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
I don't think Wade, but maybe Bosh.
No. But let's say they all three of them came to New York. The narrative wouldn't have been he teamed up with three superstars.
No, it would still be there.
Would have been the same.
No,
it would just be New York fans loving LeBron versus Miami fans.
No, seriously. It would have been like New York would have looked like the evil empire. They would have gotten the same respect as the Yankees do. But like, look at this evil empire.
I agree with that. It would have been like players. New York just throws money at everything.
Like, whoa, like, this is New York doing this?
I don't know, man. I don't know about the evil empire.
I'm telling you right now.
No, they would say New York just booked their ring. They've never done that before.
Winning two in New York, I would guarantee that winning two in New York or even trying to go for a three-pin in New York better than winning six in Chicago.
I don't think they would have been known.
A lot of people.
Migs, I don't think they would have been known like the evil empire because they've never done that before. They've never been in it. They've never bought players. They've never been successful at it. Yeah, exactly.
New York has thrown money at players, used their money to bring leverage, have used their media, have used their ability to promote. So they've done it before.
This is true. All right, but you know what they messed up at, I guess I never caught it because it never worked. No, yeah. You know what they mess up at? This is the part that they always mess up at, and LeBron and the articles regarding this allude to that. You know, they're nice with the media and the celebration and the pitch. But, dude, you know, LeBron James wanted to – he probably asked a simple question. What are your guys' plans to try to win a championship?
And they didn't know yet.
Now that I'm here.
And they said, look,
he saw through the cheap car salesman pitch.
We about to draft the next James Harden. His name is Frank Nicolina. We're going to pair you up with him, LeBron, and you already know.
All right, let me talk real quick about the 10-year anniversary, right? So I interpret this in two ways. One, I think, LeBron definitely changed the game in terms of how, players negotiate contracts, in terms of what kind of leverage they have and the level of autonomy that they have as individual players. So I think for good or for worse or for bad, I think like we all have to acknowledge LeBron for changing that and changing the history of the NBA. But me, I'm still very much old school, and I think, it sort of kind of cheapens his legacy for me. I think a lot of people have forgiven LeBron over the years, but unfortunately, I think, people from the older era, people who...
Carl, what you mean by old school? What you mean by you being old school? My fault to interrupt. What's old school? What I just want to know what's old school.
I mean, old school, you don't join your competition. Right, especially when you are at your prime, especially when you are considered the GOAT or considered a GOAT or the face of the league. Like, you don't just go and say, oh, well, you know what? Dwayne Wade got a championship. I'm going to go join Dwayne Wade. And not only am I going to join Dwayne Wade, but I'm going to get Chris Bosh. I'm going to get Ray Allen. Like, you don't try to stack the deck. So I think, like, you know, from a competitive point of view, I think a player who wants to be competitive at basketball, you want to try to rise above the challenges, not make the challenges easier for you by joining people who are competing at a high level. And I think that's what LeBron did. And so for me, it does cheapen his legacy, but I do acknowledge the fact that he has changed the NBA for better, for worse. And now players do that. So you have players like, you know, Kevin Durant, who will join on a 73.
I'm so glad you said that.
You have players like Kawhi, you know, who will now make these type of switches. So you know, that's where we are now at the NBA.
You just told them to shut up and dribble.
I didn't say shut up and dribble.
That decision that he did 10 years ago led to the destruction of the LeBron James era, because in my personal opinion, the moment when Kevin Durant decided to go, was a free agent, and he was picking on which team he picked, he was the best player in the league. When he decided to go to the Golden State Warriors and just get the hardware to go with him being the best player in the league, he was the best player in the league still. He still is the best player in the league. LeBron James is a freaking afterthought. You know, no matter what you guys want to say about, you know, everything, at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, Kevin Durant is still the king, and you still got to top with him. That's why it's going to be very interesting next year when you have a healthy Brooklyn Nets team to see whether or not they could add the final two pieces that the team needs to fully compete with a championship. And then they go up against, you know, the LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers.
I can't wait to see LeBron James's coronavirus ring.
But you know that this is all like it's look, I'm telling you, the NBA, as far as the story goes, it's setting up for a crazy next year. Because you're also gonna have Kawhi Leonard in the mix. So technically speaking, Kawhi's right now the reigning championship. But would he have been if there was a healthy Durant? We don't know.
Bro,
but
you just said
resolved next year.
You just said LeBron James.
You can't say that because players get injured and you can't control if a player gets injured. Players are gonna get injured next season.
You just said LeBron is an afterthought. Yo, end this podcast now, man.
Listen, LeBron is an afterthought. Right? He is an afterthought. He's the aging, you know, he's a great number two that's having a great number one season on the Los Angeles Lakers. Right now, position-wise, let's face facts. The stats say that Anthony Davis is putting up more stats than LeBron James, but LeBron James is having the best, one of the better seasons in his career, in terms of production too. So, you know, we'll see about that. But what I'm trying to say with this is that Kevin Durant is the number one player in the NBA.
I have a question I always thought, do you still call a number two, even though, like, they have a player on their team that may average more points than them, but the ball's in their hands most of the time, and they're basically the person who sets them up, and they still score, and their points aren't that far off, I still wouldn't call them.
But AD doesn't just have points.
John
Stockton held the ball for, you know, the majority of the time in Utah. You still call him number two.
I thought you were talking about the decision, man.
That's just something I wanted to know, because
Dwayne Wade had the ball the majority of the time over in Miami. He was still kind of considered, at least to some people, he was still considered number two once.
He wasn't number two until the second year. That was the issue that they had.
And you're right about that.
Yeah, that was the issue that they had. And then Dwayne Wade just gave it over to LeBron.
Kevin Durant.
Only because of his knees, though, too.
All the time, but Kevin Durant was the clear number one on that team.
But when you look at the numbers, it's not debatable. Of course, Kevin Durant was the number one on that team. What I'm saying is,
and Westbrook held the ball most of the time.
That's not the same things that, like, LeBron is doing when you compare it. Like, the efficiency is different. When LeBron has the ball, it's either going to be him scoring or it's going to be AD. My only question is, it's not, because Westbrook wasn't that efficient with his passing. Westbrook didn't become, like, a consistent high average passer until people started to keep mocking him about the fact that he wasn't passing. And that wasn't when they were at their best. What I'm saying is, how many of the points does AD get off of purely LeBron's assist? If it's the same, if it's like 50-50 of he gets his points with LeBron's assist versus the points that he makes from his own shot, then it's even more debatable that LeBron could possibly be the number one.
I would answer that question the fact of that that's pretty much accurate, only because LeBron James is averaging a double-double in assists for the first time in his career.
I think AD has
a lot to do with that.
I think he's the highest assist in the league. And I think also I think the same thing that you're saying in terms of AD benefiting off of LeBron, but LeBron's also benefiting
off of AD. Yeah, I know.
AD too. So even when he's passing it to AD, you pass it to AD, AD's going to score against his man, right? And LeBron probably could have passed it to anyone else in the same position, but he's not going to get the same result when it's AD.
LeBron, those are all weapons.
I think right now the number one guy is probably going to be LeBron, but I think
LeBron's the quarterback, man.
After that, it's going to be AD for sure, just based off the age.
I personally think AD is the number one, but I do think that is debatable. I do think it is very debatable between it being LeBron or AD.
It's going to be very debatable. That's why I said that LeBron James is going to win the MVP, even though he's not going to be, technically speaking, the best producer.
LeBron is the leader of the team, bro. LeBron is the number one on that team. He's the alpha.
He is the leader, yes. But
LeBron could be averaging 10, 10, and 10. LeBron could be averaging 10, 10, and 10, and he'll still be the leader of that team.
Because LeBron has the name, that's why.
Yeah, so forget about AD. His stats are better, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, you said it.
Definitely.
Does in like a few categories.
It is.
Categories.
Okay, I think after saying that LeBron is an afterthought and then forgetting AD, I think it's time for us to stop this podcast.
No. AD is a beast. I'm not going to say he's an afterthought, though.
No. I said vice versa. I said they said that LeBron was an afterthought. And anyway, I think...
Only just in a healthy era. It's only in the healthy in the era of a healthy Durant. You cannot say that LeBron James is the best player in the league. I'm sorry.
I think Migs, you're going
Durant.
I'm not going to discuss. I'm looking at the time, and I'm like, yo, Migs... Migs is looking at the time too, and he knows when to try and knock me out. He's like, yeah, right now he got me on the ropes because of the time. So
yeah, we gotta end this soon. They're about to start with the fireworks.
Oh, they already been started.
Yo, where the hell Fabulous went, man?
I was about to say something problematic.
Yo, let's talk about the verses real quick. Yo, like I said, Jadakiss is a better rapper than Fabulous. Fabulous had no personality, no character. It showed in his music and his whole performance. Jadakiss showed why he has character. He got drunk. He gave us what we wanted as the fans. He showed the new generation how Jadakiss gets down. You feel me? So it's beyond lyrics at this point. Jadakiss already got the foundation, which was lyrics and the fan base. But now he showed the world that he's a fun dude. Now Jadakiss can do anything he wants. He just set that up, bro. You feel me? Jadakiss can do anything he wants.
All right, so since we lost Mike, I'm gonna do my best Mike impersonation. All right, guys, time to wrap it up. We're gonna catch you guys next week on the Coach's Challenge podcast.
Thanks for having us, Mike. Thanks for having us, Mike.
You guys,
Birdie,
yeah, Mike.
You guys have anything you guys wanna add on to any podcast? Any shout outs?
Shameless plugs.
You can catch me live, Mike, on twitch.tv/StatsGertie.
Yo, that's it, that's Mike, it, man.
Yo, call Trotness on Instagram, CARLTROPNES, Mr. Trotness.
Yo, this is H leaving y'all. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope y'all like what we're doing.
This is Mr. Migs. Great talking and meeting you guys again. Sorry I missed last week. But, let's keep it going. Have a good night.